Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Roma Press Podcast. We hope that all of you are doing very, very well. Before we get into everything, of course, thank you to all of our wonderful patrons over at Patreon. If you would like to join the group chat, the chaos, if you would like to get access to the patron-only updates, reactions. I just put something out by the time this episode comes out. I will have something on the sporting director search of Roma, how some of that transpired in recent weeks. You can go to patreon.com/RomaPress. And then, of course, at @IsRomaPress. Like, subscribe. It helps more than you know. So if you could do us the huge favor of just pausing the video for one second, going down there, clicking subscribe, we would greatly, greatly, immensely appreciate it because it allows us to do these podcasts and still maintain some semblance of, I won't say mental sanity because we don't have that, but at least the illusion of mental sanity because, Andy, Roma 1, Genoa 0. If you want to find the metaphor for this season, that was it. This game had all the positive, all the negative, all of the refereeing, just top-tier refereeing decisions, top-tier refereeing display by Mr. Magnaniello tonight. It had the full range of emotions on display. I don't know if I should start with the bad, the good, the ugly. Roma 1, good. It takes a late Romelu Lukaku header to seal the victory.
His last goal for Roma. We have that.
By the way,
so
did he know if he took his shirt? Was that done on purpose for the typical early holiday?
Nobody wants. So is this your tourist part of the show that you're gonna go off on a tangent saying that Empoli?
No,
nobody should.
No, listen. I don't believe that's Tuscany.
You're not gonna go against.
No,
Tuscany.
Toscana, man.
I know. No, of course.
Yeah. No, I don't say anything. You will never on this podcast.
Never.
I've never once said anything bad about Tuscany.
No,
but the only in all one place. Do you think he, in all seriousness, do you think he knew before he took his shirt off to celebrate that he knew?
No.
There's no way.
You know, it's clear. No, that's 100% emotions. You know, I mean, you're in 10 men, and this go again. Yes. You know, we have to remind ourselves what we are fighting for right now. Tonight, we are fighting for sixth place. We were fighting to secure sixth place. That was what we were doing. We were fighting to secure sixth place so that Lazio cannot overcome us in the standings, so that if in case there is the miracle that Atalanta wins the Europa League, we go straight to the Champions League. That's what we're fighting for. So I can understand the emotions behind that moment. I can't even imagine if this game was worth more than just sixth place than what his celebration would have been. But it's great to see Romelu Lukaku, you know, likely end his spell at Roma with this match. He deserves it. Perhaps not one of his best career years, but still, I think, you know, despite how difficult it's been for Roma this season with so many ups and downs and so many, you know, changes from Mourinho's tenure to De Rossi's, and how much time it took Lukaku to adapt. We will go over it in the off season once Lukaku's departure becomes official. But it was nice. It was also nice for me. It was great to see Kevin Strootman get the send off that I think everybody knew he deserved and he never got, because we remember that the move from Roma to Marseille is so surprising, so out of the blue. And yes. Then anytime he was back here, I don't even remember if he was back here so often, perhaps only once, because other times he was injured with Genoa. But I mean, the man goes to Serie B with Genoa, goes back to Serie A, you know, it's nice. It's special to see this guy recognize also, you know, and realize the importance he's had in the fans' eyes, because Kevin Strootman, you know, for the Romanisti that followed this team in those years, 2013, 14, 15, I mean, Kevin Strootman was, you know, potentially world-class for the history books kind of player before that
injury. Massive acquisition.
Yeah. And then even despite the injury, we've been here. We were already recording the podcast together when Strootman was on his last legs for Roma, and it was a sad sight. But there were also moments of just such devotion and sacrifice that we rarely got from any player. It was just a fitting ending to his time, possibly his time in Italy in Serie A, because I don't think that I think this will be it for Strootman. So it was great to see him. And that's, I think that was the one thing to me that thankfully overshadowed the horrific refereeing display by Manganiello.
Where to start with him, man. The thing with Paredes, because the second I said, in the group chat, I tried to be quiet most of the match because I was immensely frustrated. But the second he was sent off, everyone said, oh, here comes Solano. He's going to complain about Paredes being sent off. I didn't have a bad thing to say about Paredes. You want to talk about a referee. So do the kids still say in your feelings? I could not think of a worse and more lame individual to ever say something so just no. For that phrase to come out of my mouth, I'm appalled. But in all seriousness, I look at Magnaniello, the way he handled that decision. You want to talk about that was a criminal handling. That second half, I thought the first half was bad by him, some of the decisions he made. That second half was appalling behavior on all fronts. It was, he has no business doing another Serie A match, simply based on, I'm not even talking about his individual decisions. I'm talking about his behavior. His behavior was horrific, embarrassing. And by Italian refereeing standards, that is saying something. That is saying something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have these moments where the Italian referees just act like bullies, like almost they forget their place within the dynamics of the pitch. And I think tonight was the prime example of it, because, listen, the game we were seeing in the first half going into the second half was, you would be hard-pressed to find somebody that expected a positive outcome out of this match. It was already difficult.
Matt, one of our patrons is on holiday there and sent a photo of themselves at the stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, do you not feel for people when they get treated to a match like that? Yeah, saving you have to do for your life, the money. Some of these people have to say, I mean, I think of people from like Australia, what it takes to fly there. And then I think of them getting up at all hours of the evening to be treated to something like that.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, absolutely. You know, and so it's, so that's the context. The match was already difficult. You know, people in the stands, people at home watching were not having fun. And then you got a guy like Manganiello, who's got a Napoleon complex, who's, you know, wants to once again put himself at the center of this for no reason at all. Both teams were struggling. You have Roma, who clearly, you know, without Dybala, they're in a slumber. And then, surprisingly enough, this was fascinating to me. The negative episode comes in, and that's when Roma react, and they manage to do it successfully. Because the few times that we've seen this team in recent weeks, the problem, and that's what De Rossi has also said, was whenever an episode did not go our way, whenever we were penalized, whenever the opponent got a penalty called in their favor, or we crumbled. And instead, tonight, the episode goes against us. Paredes is sent off, and Roma, they react. And they do it, and they carry yes. out the result in a really difficult, imposing fashion. Lukaku, already, you know, the team is already aware that he's off. You know, he's going to be gone for Empoli. So that's the whole feeling at the end of the match. And the team in those final 10 minutes, they hold out. So to me, this so for 79 minutes, we were treated to the most predictable stuff imaginable, given the kind of match day that we had, given the stakes, given the physical and mental energy of the team, of Genoa as well. Listen, I mean, Genoa have also had a tough year, given everything. They've had a number of injuries in recent weeks. So... But then they turned and turned it around and took on the unexpected, and that's what happened. We got treated to 10 minutes of unexpected football from Roma. We had already seen Lazio draw 1-1 with Inter, and we were already prepared for this team to once again disappoint. John, this is the first time since 2019 that we're going to finish above Lazio, okay?
Yes.
Let that sink in. 5 years. 5 years it took us to get this sixth place that tonight we feel like celebrating. Why? Because there is a minor, minuscule window for hope of Champions League football. But unfortunately, that hope is directly linked with Giampiero Gasperini being labeled a European champion. So I don't want to live in that reality. I don't want to be part of that world.
Does this not feel like what number Saw movie are they on? Saw 29? This feels like Saw, you know, where the guy, I want to play a game. Okay, you have criticized Giampiero Gasperini for the majority of your existence. Now you have to support them if you want Roma to make Champions League.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good plot. That's a pretty good plot.
Well, given everything after Saw 3, it fits right in, frankly, with some of the other crap that they decided to push out. But given that, I am only content with how this season ends, where we find ourselves. And by the way, next weekend against Empoli, you have an Empoli that you're going to get full out. You're going to get a full-out Empoli because right now they are 18th, have to get some sort of result. So you're going to get them with the pedal all the way to the floor. So it's good. You know it's going to be difficult. So I am expecting to be disappointed. But I'm already disappointed given how this season has just been a complete death march. Before we get into more about this game and some of the other Roma-related stuff, can we just take one moment to celebrate? Maybe we can add some sort of sound effects, something on the video screen, or some sort of overlay or something to celebrate. You wanted them to be relegated. I have wanted them to be disbanded along the likes of Vicenza, who had 29 different installments of the club. Sassuolo going down. It feels good. If I can't have Roma winning anything, making Champions League, then I have to cling on to the failure of others. So what? I'm jaded. I'm petty. That's what happens when you do this thing with Roma, when you write about them, when you talk about them, when you spend the majority of your conscious life having to discuss or at least pay attention to Roma. I get Sassuolo going down. How do you feel? Because for you, it is. There are a couple of reasons. First off, I have never liked Sassuolo, but there is an individual who gives 29 to 30 interviews on a weekly basis that somehow is connected to Roma in some discernible fashion, and it's maddening how he manages to do it. But how do you feel? You have to feel good about this, yeah?
I think all of Italy except for Beppe Marotta is feeling good about this, and except for certain members of Roma's management, obviously this is, you know, Sassuolo have been a huge part of Roma's transfer dealings over the years. I don't know if that will change with them going down to Serie B and also Thiago Pinto not being there anymore, because he was close to Giovanni Carnevali, which is the guy who you're talking to, because that's a man that when he gets red hot, he's able to give 10 interviews a day, and I'm sitting there transcribing each and every one of them. And in each and every one of them, he's like potentially selling 300 players. Listen, Sassuolo, yeah. Sassuolo, I'm going to keep it brief because at the end of the day, it's Sassuolo. So Sassuolo was a nice reality for about a couple of years. I remember them in particular when they had Eusebio Di Francesco and he led them to Europe. That's what I remember. So I remember that. I remember Roberto De Zerbi there. But above all, I just keep thinking about this team just being one of those annoying little teams that keeps giving problems in a way that doesn't have anything to do with the pitch, you know. And Giovanni Carnevali is unfortunately the prime example of a guy who feels too important for the reality that he represents. He feels too important, and I think that's what Sassuolo didn't understand. Sassuolo lost something along the years when they were an exciting small team that had taken everybody by surprise. You had guys like Berardi, who became now like a folk legend, and people still talk about him, although he's now out with an ACL injury, and he's probably like 35 years old by now. But when Sassuolo was hitting it big with Eusebio Di Francesco, it was a nice reality, because you had this whole world of the likes of Lorenzo Pellegrini coming through. And then you had Berardi, who was being linked with a move to Juventus, to Barcelona. I mean, it was, you know, it was an unbelievable reality. It was sort of like the Italian Brighton. But now, no. Mm. Now it's done. Now it's game over, and we have to move on. Thank God. I think it will also help perhaps clear up some of the dealings that take place behind the scenes in terms of the transfer market. Because if you also, you know, you can criticize Roma for what they've been doing with Sassuolo, but just take a look at what Beppe Marotta has been doing with Sassuolo, and you'll see that that's a whole different ballgame.
Oh, it is. When we talk about Di Francesco at Sassuolo, I will never forget. Do you remember who replaced him on an interim basis for two, maybe 3 months?
Was it like a guy like called Bucchi?
The man, Bucchi? The myth. No, Malisani. Best.
No. You mean in his first, because no, that's the first spell. Di Francesco came back afterwards. Malisani came in. Di Francesco returned. Malisani. Poor Malisani, you know, he's now off to making wine. He's not a coach anymore. But yes, he was an absolute legend, and we shall remember that about.
One post match press conference. That
the one in Greece.
The entire guy. That is that guy's his entire career. Shocking stuff. But yes, everybody can revel in this. I find just about every aspect of them so annoying. They had that air to them, as you mentioned, of this kind of hipster club. And that was fun for about 5 minutes. My disdain for them immediately came when they were promoted, because as you remember, they were the ones to break Roma's winning streak to begin 2013-2014. You have Berardi with that rocket in the final moments to earn a draw at the Olimpico, I believe it was. It was at the Olimpico. And since then, my disdain for them knows no bounds. But I couldn't be happier. I can't stand them. And again, a certain executive of theirs, knowing he will have to be talking about doing deals with, Como, find any other Serie B side you want to, or something like. Well, actually, I shouldn't even say them, because Como is probably going to be in Serie A. I don't know. Just knowing that he has to do a deal with like a Brescia, a Spezia, something like that, it warms my heart. So good riddance, goodbye to them. As far as Roma goes, back to Roma, this thing where we are now, we're in sixth, you're having to, there is something so weird about having to have your Champions League hopes hinge entirely on Atalanta in the Europa League final. Now, being very jaded as I am, obviously I want Roma to make Champions League. Now, whether or not I'm willing, or I want them to make Champions League at the expense of Gasperini's happiness, that is something I'm going to have to discuss. I have to say, though, after they lost the Coppa Italia final to Juve, there is something a little heartwarming about the prospect of that absolute degenerate Gasperini losing two finals within the span of 2 weeks. So, again, if I have to cling on to somebody else's failures to bring myself happiness, obviously, since we're connected to Roma, that's just going to happen by nature. But given that, can we just for a moment talk about how realistic this is? Because I think the worst thing we can do, you said earlier on in the episode about your Champions League aspirations now hinge on the hope that Atalanta win. I can't even bring myself to get there, because the hope is what kills us most of the time anyway. But now, in something that I think in our heart, well, maybe we don't know in our hearts, maybe there are some people, because when you and I in the previous episode or two episodes ago, when we were hammering Atalanta, we got a couple of comments, or at least I think I did on social media, saying, oh, I was disappointed to see you having a go at Atalanta in the Europa League final. Don't you want to support Italian, a fellow Serie A Italian side in a European final? And we've discussed this before. Maybe I have just been ignorant to this, but that mindset, it does not exist in the country. This is something that only happens outside of Italy. So I can't even, I'm small-minded, so I can admit that. I can't even bring myself to that way of thinking. Like I can't even imagine any scenario where I would ever, just by the way of, oh, it's a fellow team from Serie A, just due to that I would ever support them. So I can understand why there are some people who, even if it had no connection to Roma, wanted to watch them win over Bayer Leverkusen. But in all seriousness, if you just have some quiet moments to yourself, you're not doing it on the podcast, you're not doing it on the video version of this, you're not doing a live stream, in your heart of hearts, you know Atalanta's not winning, right? You know that. I know that. I can't even bring myself to cling on to that.
Wow, really? You're playing the long game, I see. Listen.
No, I'm not even doing like the reverse jinx. I truly don't think they have any. I just don't see it.
This will be funny. This will be a clip. I can tell. I can tell that this will be a clip. But I know. I agree with you. I mean, listen. There is the Atalanta. If they were gonna win something, it was gonna be the Coppa Italia against a terrible Juve side that has only won like two games in the last 3 months. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. And Atalanta couldn't do that. They don't have one of their most important players and a guy whom I hate with a passion, who is basically the Gianluca Lapadula of Atalanta, and that's Martin Derun. He's not going to play the Europa League final, yes, which gives me great joy, because this is the same guy who made fun of Roma, yes, when they lost, yes, against Sevilla last year. So, you know, that's all I really think about. That Atalanta, they're a good side, but we faced in Bayer Leverkusen, we faced a team for the history books, and even Atalanta, yeah, who are so well organized, such a well composed, strong structure team, but they're gonna be without Gianluca Scamacca. They're going to be without Martin Derun. So all of this, in my opinion, it stacks up against them. Now, you know that whenever Roma fans say something like this, the reverse happens. And that's where the dilemma goes. Would I be pleasantly surprised or not? You know, because again, man, if I tell you the image of Giampiero Gasperini, one of the people with the most punchable face in the league, who whenever he opens his mouth to say something, it just sounds like the most boomer shit in the world. If I imagine that face smiling and lifting a Europa League trophy above his head, I get depressed. That's the severe depression of the 21st century. Yeah. It's the image of Giampiero Gasperini lifting any type of trophy. The man hasn't won a trophy as a first team coach. And I would, on one hand, I would love for him to win because it would mean for Roma to go into Champions League. But on the other hand, it would completely crush also my image of the Conference League success. Because it would really put us to shame. Because what Atalanta have been doing for the past few years has been putting us to shame. They've made it a normality to qualify for Champions League football. Whereas Roma have made it an impossible objective. So that already tells you everything. And they've already been competing for two finals this season. So what the hell are we talking about, you know? And it, so it just pains you. It pains you to imagine that this team that came from the reality of Bergamo, that came from that reality of a really minor side, are now on the verge of potential.
I mean, a yo-yo club, man. I mean, people... that's the thing that I just have such a difficult time reckoning with. This Atalanta that people, if you only started to watch Serie A in the last 5 to 10 years, I can understand why you have a relatively high opinion of them. I mean, for the majority of my life, this team has been a joke. It's up to Serie A, back down to Serie B, up and down and up and down.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was Bobo Vieri also at Atalanta at some point in time? Or did I dream that up? Was Christian
no,
Vieri was
no, no,
was
no, no,
at
no.
Atalanta?
He was. Yes, it was. And I don't know if it was Atalanta or Fiorentina. He had a very weird, it was a very odd contract because I believe he went to Atalanta back to Fiorentina. And it was either Atalanta or Fiorentina where he had this very weird like pay-as-you-play contract. But anyway, yeah, man. I still think of them back to the days of this might, I don't know if this might give to people nightmares. Ezequiel Schelotto. You remember that name? I mean, we can go down some of the hits.
Ex-Inter,
we can go down some real hits. Yes. With the hairband. To bring myself to physically sit in front of a television and pin my hopes. They're at least, even if Gasperini doesn't win, in a way he already has one because we are sitting in front of a television supporting him, or I won't say supporting him, hoping, or some of us at least, hoping that they get a victory. Again, to even be in this position is an indictment on this season to begin with. Yeah, I mean, the fact we are even here, the fact that this is even part of our reality really says all we need to know. And this is what you get. This is what you get for what has happened this season. I know we will have more time to do a full dissection of... we say it every year, and we have said it consistently for the past 5-6 years since we have been doing this. This has been so... I can't even begin to explain to people. And maybe others don't feel like this. This has been so fucking long, man, this season. I can't even come to terms with the fact that this season is still ongoing. The season still has one more week left. I have difficulty comprehending. Think of everything that happened. When we played Genoa tonight, they were showing clips of the match in Liguria before kickoff.
4-1.
Do you remember that? That was this season. That, whoa, that match still lives so vividly in my mind, too. Because that is where really the nightmare began, in my opinion. But this has been such a long season. It's only right that we have to end this sitting in front of our televisions, watching Atalanta in a European final. In a way, it almost even if they win, I almost feel kind of like scarred or dirty to getting into the Champions League that way. I mean, it feels so incredibly undeserved, so undeserved. When you look to, especially this previous month, things started well under De Rossi, and then I would say in some recent weeks, and I get reminded of it after, maybe I'm only trying to say this because every single time somebody on social media from the clan of Jose Mourinho has to tell to me, has to say to you, has to reply onto an article, something, win, loss, or draw, some way they're able to make a connection to it, to Jose Mourinho. There has been a drop-off, obviously, in the past month. I mean, to you, just to end this, because I think this is a good way to at least top it off before the final match of the season. What is your true feeling of the level of Roma? Are they as bad as we've seen in this past month? Are they as ineffective as we've seen in this past month? Are they as good as we saw early on under De Rossi? Like, that's the problem. I don't even know how I am to interpret this team, because it is baffling to me how you can have, for instance, just 1 month ago, they did that against Milan. That seems like ancient history, where they boss Milan at San Siro, win again at the Olimpico. That doesn't even seem like that. Those two performances belong in the same season as we saw Roma against Atalanta 1 week ago. What is the true level of this team?
Listen, I think it's, as always, it has to be somewhere in the middle, because we've seen this team. I think the answer is this is a team that was badly constructed and was playing badly because it was playing a kind of football that was unsuitable to most of the individual characteristics that are on this team. So for so long, it seemed like in the first 6 months of the season, it seemed like the team had basically pushed itself into this very tight little corner from which they couldn't get out of. And they were almost like overcome with this virus of not being able to play properly. It seemed like for the first 6 months, there wasn't a single match that you could look back on with fondness and say, well, that's where they showed up, perhaps except for that ridiculous win against Empoli that still makes no sense. I really don't know what to say about the first 6 months. Then with De Rossi, obviously things have to change because that's a natural order of when a new manager comes in. But De Rossi is also able to start tweaking things. The problem is once he tweaks those things, once he puts, for example, a guy like Leandro Paredes, who for the first 6 months probably ran the same amount as I've ran this year, you know, which is minimal. And then De Rossi has Pellegrini, who also was not expressing himself with Mourinho, and then turns it up, tweaks their position, asks more of them, and those guys do turn it up eventually. They gave us three quality months that then took such a physical toll, because tonight, again, we saw this team. That, you know, you cannot, for me, again, I said this on the live stream, you cannot keep saying, well, the core is rotten. The core, what the problem of the core, and by the core, fans mean Pellegrini, Cristante, and Mancini. The core is not rotten. The core is at its last legs, because Brian Cristante is the single player in Serie A to have the most minutes in his legs. Mancini is not too far away from him. Pellegrini is also not too far away from those two. You cannot expect your core players to always perform 90 minutes, 90 minutes, 90 minutes, 90 minutes. And then that's what happens is you find yourself at the end of the season where you need energy, you need fresh legs. Roma were completely unable to do it. So I think it's just, this was a season where we found out, well, not really found out, we sort of refreshed our memory of what happens when you put players in a position not to succeed, where you consistently make the same mistakes in building a team, and where you consistently ignore the way certain players need to be. I mean, even the fact, Miles VR, you know, that's a guy right there who gave you like 8 points. 8 points in 3 months, for sure he gave you eight points. Eight, nine, I would even say 12 points. In 3 months, why was that guy on the bench? Why does that happen? Who makes that decision? You know, who was in Mourinho's ear telling him, listen, don't play VR, he's too good? I mean, what? That's a clear sign of something not working behind the scenes. And you pay the price. You pay the price, because if Miles VR then gives you those eight, nine additional points, you have to think about all the points that you dropped because Rui Patricio was completely in unacceptable form for the first 6 months of this year, and up until Daniele De Rossi came in. That decision, just that one single decision, proves pivotal at the end of the campaign.
Right. Yeah, it does. And again, we've said this numerous times. It makes you wonder where they would be had they brought him in sooner. But again, we can dissect that later. All right, we will leave it there until next time. One more left, everyone. One more left. Until next time. Ciao.